Willing, we will finish off Matthew. It's only been 2.5 years. But we took some breaks along the way. We took a few detours along the way. But really looking at the words of Christ. And, you know, I hope in this study that you really kind of opened your eyes of who Jesus is by his own words. And the challenge we have, this idea that Jesus was like this Mr. Rogers going around and just the idea of just loving everyone and he's accepting of all things. We see that Jesus was love. But he came to seek and save the lost and to save them from their lostness, to find a better way. Right? The goal of Christ in our life isn't to come and leave us like we were. Not at all. He came to free us to become what he wants us to be. And there's a big difference in that. I mean, the price was so high. It was his death upon the cross that he paid it. We looked at that last week. Of that sacrifice he did for us. That I deserved that punishment. I deserved to be separated from God. Yet he took all those things for you and for me. And I am eternally thankful for that. So Matthew 28, we change gears. That Christ had died upon the cross. And they took him down. And he's been in the grave now. And it's not about the Sabbath. It's over. This is the first thing Sunday morning. Actually, you wonder why we gather on Sunday morning, that the church developed that as a tradition to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Resurrection Sunday. That's why you're here. I don't know if you know that or not. And it's the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. So your week's just starting. But in here, as Matthew brings this down to a close. I think the energy is this, that he wants us to go. To read this and not to be stuck where we are, but it energizes us to do more. Let's see what it says here. Verse 1, it says, "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door. And he sat on it, and his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.'" That in here, the events is, remember, as Christ died on the cross, the sun was going down, and because that was going to be in the Sabbath, they weren't prepared to prepare the body. And Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and laid him in his tomb. And so the whole ritual of washing, of caring, of wrapping the body, all that was undone. So the ladies waited until the Sabbath was over, because it was unlawful, right? They weren't allowed to do work on the Sabbath day. So they waited until that was over, and they were coming to prepare the body of their Lord. Now, I don't know if that might seem strange to some of us, but we have our own traditions of respect at funerals. I know there's a lot of people who are like, well, you know, when I die, you know, I don't care what they do, or I want nothing. I just want to encourage you. I think it's good for families to have that closure. I think it's good for the family to go, right? That the funeral isn't for the dead person. The funeral is for the living. And I think it's important for us to allude to that. I did tell my wife, the only rule I have is don't bring a date to the funeral. Other than that, I don't care. I don't care. You know, they can stuff me, they can cremate me, you know, donate my body to science. I'm not going to need this body anymore. They can do anything they want with it, because I'll be with the Lord. But we see these women and their love for the Lord, and they come to prepare the body, and they knew they were soldiers. Elsewhere in the Gospels, we're told, they're wondering, who's going to roll the stone away? Right? Are the soldiers going to get us through? All these things I imagine were going through, but nothing was going to stop them. And I find it interesting, you know, here the women were the brave ones, the men were all hiding because they were afraid they were next. We see the disciples cowering in the upper room, wondering, what now? But as they come through, as they come up to the tomb, there's an earthquake, and the stone is rolled away. Now, it's imperative to realize the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. Jesus was already gone. No rock is going to stop him. Right? Have no fear. Nothing could stop the Lord from doing what he said he was going to accomplish. But it was rolled away so that we can come and we can see. And I love that phrase where he talks about he's risen from the dead just as he said. Now, this is typically Easter service where we bring it in. But I love this because he is not here. See the place where he laid. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Now this has nothing to do with my sermon, but I love this. This is one of my all-time favorite verses. Because Jesus said he was going to raise from the dead, and guess what? He did. Is anything too hard for our Lord? No. It's not that we look at the situation of what's going on. I know this week, watching all the events unfold, you know, in Lewiston, it seems like so many of the world events, you know, we talk about Ukraine and now what's taking place in Israel. All these things seem so far away. And then Lewiston, in our own little state of Maine, we have this craziness going on. We feel like the darkness is just closing in. And you wonder, God, are you still in control? Let me tell you, he is. God's still in control. You know, I don't know, over the years I've made a lot of promises that I have not kept. I don't know about you. Sometimes I've made promises just to kind of get the person to be quiet and go away. I know none of you have ever done that. Right? You want to get out of the situation. You're like, oh, and you had no intention to do it, but you said you'd do it, and you didn't do it. Sometimes you make promises not knowing the whole story. Right? You didn't know all the facts. You know, you promise your family, yes, oh yeah, we're going to take a cruise this year. And then you find out it costs $5,000 a person. Guess what? We're not going. How far will $5 get us? Right? Because you don't have all the information. And sometimes we make promises that we shouldn't have. Because we didn't do our diligence to get all the information first. And sometimes just things happen. Right? God doesn't have that. Right? He's risen just as he said. God's promises are true. God is never caught by surprise. And sometimes we make promises that we can't keep just because we can't. Right? We just don't have the ability. You know, we make the promise and not having all the details, and it just doesn't work out. We just can't do it. We promise something and I just can't do it. Because of my limitation. God does not have that limitation. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said, right? If you can raise yourself from the dead, there's no promise that he made to you that he cannot keep. Yeah, that's an amen line. Amen? All right, see when you're awake. I know it's cold. Right? But there is no promise that he can't keep. I love that passage. Let's go back to verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And he went out quickly from the tomb, and with fear and great joy ran to bring his disciples' word. As they go in and talk to the angel, they look, and Jesus is gone, just as he said. But then they said, "Go and tell his disciples. Go tell them, and tell them to go to Galilee and wait there. And Jesus will reveal himself." This chapter here is just filled with the word "go," and I want to bring this in here. That the angel said, "Go, because he's in Galilee. Go and wait for that." As we look at the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, right? He died for our sins, but now he's alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, as that famous song says. He is alive, and that changes everything. Because we're told to wait, and so much of our life is waiting, isn't it? We live in a state of expectation. Sometimes we just can't wait for this moment to end and get to the next. "Lord, right, what are you doing?" And we wait. Yet we are not ones who wait without hope. We don't wait without hope. Right? Have you ever waited for someone and you weren't sure they're going to show up? Right? I mean, as pastor over the years, people are like, "Oh, I'll meet you at the church at noon." All right. So I get here, early, because, I was taught if you're not early, you're late. So I'll usually try to get here a little bit early and wait and wait and wait. Then you play that game of, are they coming or aren't they coming? Because you kind of have that fear that, look, if I go, right? If I go, they're going to show up. Right? Then you're going to look like you're the bad guy. So you sit and you wait and you wait and you wait. And you're like, "They're not coming. They're not coming. They're not coming." Right? And then about 2 days later, you get a phone call. "Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm sorry I couldn't make it." Ah! Right? Have you ever waited when there was no hope? Right? When you weren't sure of the expectation. You weren't sure what was going to happen. This past fall we went down to see Sight and Sound and all the tickets were sold out. And so we had to go in there and wait. And we weren't sure we were going to get tickets. Now, I was hopeful. And the poor lady at the counter, I kept coming up. I said, "There's an empty seat yet? Is there an empty seat yet? Empty seat yet?" And so then you got to the point, you're really wearing it thin. When you start walking up, and you have to sit, right? She's like, "All right, no." I'm 10 feet away. She's like, "Nope." It's like, "All right." Now, thankful God was merciful to us and actually opened up. We were able to go see it. But we didn't know. And it's like, "Oh, how often do we do this?" Right? My wife and I are thinking, "All right, we missed the first showing, went to the second showing, did the same thing." Right? It's like, "Okay, we're going to be down there like 4 days. Am I going to do this every day, twice a day, to try to get in?" Right? It's hard to wait without hope. And yet, the same Jesus who died, they washed him and get crucified, put into the tomb, rose again, right? Just as he said he was going to. And he says, "Go wait for me." And guess what? Do you think he's going to show up? Oh, yeah. Right? Whatever your circumstances, whatever you're praying for, you can pray waiting, knowing that God will answer that prayer. Now, it may not be like you want, but we have a confidence in our waiting. I know the Lord's going to come again, right? I've had so many conversations recently all about, is the Lord coming back, right? Is this the end times? We think peace was going with Israel and Iran and all these things, right? Is this the end times? I don't know. But I know it's going to happen someday. Why? Because he said so. Right? I know the Lord's coming back. Because he said so. The hope we have in the resurrection, the Apostle Paul picks this up in the Corinthians. He says, look, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, right? If Christ didn't rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. It's empty. And you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men of most pitiful. If Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith would end at the grave. And I've said this, that if you just want a religion that's going to teach you how to live good, take your pick. If you're looking for a religion that will just take you to the grave, pick whatever one you want. But if you want a hope beyond the grave, Jesus is the only answer. Do you see the difference? That's what Paul says. That our faith is not in a dead Christ, but in a living God. That when I'm waiting and I'm anxious and I don't know, I can lift up my voice to a living God who hears me. How it changes everything. The hope that he's coming back again, right? He says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm waiting for the Lord's return. You know, and there's nothing on my agenda that I would be disappointed in if Jesus came back right now. I mean, you'd probably be thankful if he came. I didn't have to finish this sermon. You could just go. But he is. He's going to come. And I see the things in the world. And you know what? I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I know it's going to happen. May not be today. May not be tomorrow. But it will. Why? Because he said so. And we are told to go and we are told to wait. But Matthew continues on. Right, the angel says, go and wait. Right, tell them to go to Galilee. I will appear to them. It says, then as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Folks, we are told to go and see. How many know that the scripture says Jesus went up and ascended up into heaven? But you know what? He's here with us. And if you seek him, you will find him. And we have an advocate with the Father, that all these things that we can come to him, that he's not far away. That as Christians, we see him every day and all around me in what he does. Hebrews tells us that seeing that we have such a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We are told to come, to go before the throne and lay down our petitions. That we have a God who cares and understands. We have an ever-present help in the time of need. That's our Lord. I pray you seize those opportunities throughout the day of knowing the presence of God. Jeremiah encourages us that then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will what? Listen to you. Folks, you lift up your voice and God hears. You cry and He knows. You praise, He lends His ear. What a joy it changes in our life that we don't come before a dead God, a helpless God, but no, a God that rose from the grave. And nothing is too hard for Him. That He's right there. Years ago, I was in a church and a lady pulled me inside and goes, "Pastor, I need you to go talk to the nursery worker because they're talking about prayer." She goes, "I don't like what they're doing." I said, "What were they doing?" And they had those little, you know, those little Fisher-Price phones. I don't know if they make these anymore. You know, the ones you kind of push and I goes, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. Now, I don't know if they updated, because nowadays people don't even know, but it had wheels and it had the little circular. And they must have updated that. I can't imagine they still have the, right? How many of you guys remember the rotary phones? Right? And I always had a problem with like 9, because you get around and you glitch and you have to start all over again, right? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? All right, you guys are a bunch of old fogies. All right, you know what I'm talking about. And she had a bunch of these phones for the kids. And they would pray. She would tell the kids to pick up the phone and pray. Like you're talking to God. And the one parent was concerned because she didn't think it was reverent and all this. And I thought it was a beautiful picture because these kids would just talk to God. Right? It wasn't fancy and, you know, they didn't break in the King James language when they prayed and they didn't do all kinds of, right? It was just talking with God. And I thought, no, this is a wonderful thing. Because sometimes we complicate it so much. Right? I don't know how to pray. Do I pray just right? You know, I'm thankful we have a God that hears us and knows. You know, I've shared with you guys before that someone asked me to pray for someone. And I prayed for Sally, and I prayed for Sally. And probably about a month went by, and I was praying for Sally. Then I talked to the person, I said, "Oh, how's Sally doing?" And they're like, "Who's Sally?" I was like, "Your daughter? You don't know your daughter?" You know? And they're like, "No, my daughter's Susan." I was like, "Oh, well, wait a minute. Did I waste my breath? I prayed for the wrong person. Oh, no, God got confused." No! Right? God knows! Right? Yeah, I imagine he's up there like, "Oh, all right, yep." You know. And sometimes we overcomplicate it. We don't say the right thing or right? We don't say it just right. Or, you know, I was at a funeral and we're at graveside and I prayed and I said amen. And a lady from the back row shouted out, "In Jesus' name." And afterwards she came up to me and she goes, "Pastor, you forgot to say in Jesus' name." She goes, "But I covered for you, so God heard it." You know, it's not like the post office, right? Oh, you know, I'm on 100 Church Street and he actually I'm getting mail from 100 Church Street in Prospect. Is there a Church Street in Prospect? So I don't know this guy's mail I'm getting, but I bring it out to the post office, right? And they're like, "Oh yeah, I know who this person is," right? It's like, oh no, God knows. He's bigger than that. He just wants us to come to Him and talk to Him and pour our hearts to Him. And He hears us. Why? Because He's alive. And we see Him. And along the way, blessings along the way, stop and pray and thank Him for His goodness and His mercy towards us. And the more you do that, the more you'll see Him. If you search for Him, you will find Him. And you'll see God answering prayer. You'll see God in the small things. Go and see. Because He's alive, and He's ever present, and He's around, and He answers prayer, He hears us. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee," right? The angel said, "Go." So they went, and to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, and some, what? Doubted. They saw Him and yet doubted. You know, doubt and fear are very powerful things. And sometimes we see God working right in our presence, and we don't see it. And this tells me that sometimes seeing isn't always believing. And folks, sometimes our eyes are clouded. How we think things are going to work out. Sometimes our thoughts are clouded of how we hope for things. Or maybe we're clouded by worry and fear that we don't see God working. We don't see His blessings. We don't see His provision. Because we have all these other things that's blocking our view. You know, probably for what, the last, I don't know, 6 years? I have glasses. I don't know if you guys know that. I have glasses. And most of the time I get by with, actually, I just wear one contact. I'm weird. I can see up close with one eye, and then I wear a contact for far away. Right now, I don't have anything, so I can still see George back there. So I'm not that blind. But the big joke in the house is, you know, Dad, we spent all this money on glasses for you, and you don't wear them. And so I'm finding I'm wearing them more. So you might see me out with glasses on. You're like, who is this guy? And especially at night, as things are getting darker, right? You know, when you get old like me, you struggle with that. And so especially if we're going to be out at night, driving with them on is a little bit better than not. Probably safer for everyone. The family screams a whole lot less. And it drives me nuts because I put them on, and all I see is the smudges. You people who wear glasses all the time, I don't know how you do it. Because I'm like constantly cleaning my glasses, and I'm told, oh, you get used to it, right? And I'm like, oh, it drives me nuts. And then I have like these long lashes that hit. Does anyone else have that? Is that normal? Your eyelashes hit the glasses, and so you get smudges? No, okay, it's just me. I'm just a freak. Yeah, my daughter, well, she's a freak like me, so. And I'm constantly taking them off and cleaning them, and it's like, it's so annoying, right? Because you're supposed to look through the glasses, not at the glasses. There's a point to this. And sometimes in our faith, we are so consumed with all this stuff that's closing up, that's up close, like worry and fear, and how's this going to work out, that we don't see what's beyond that. We don't see the Lord when He's there. We're like, God, are you even hearing me? And He does. And sometimes God's working out His plan in our lives, and we're so bogged down that we aren't seeing God do what God is doing. And we forget His blessings and His goodness and His presence in our life. So in Matthew 28, we have this, go and wait, but wait with hope. We're told to go and see. In our lives, we live this out to see the Lord all around us. And lastly, we're told to go and tell. And the chapter wraps up with this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, this hope that we have, this relationship we have with Christ, isn't something we're supposed to keep to ourselves. We're supposed to go and tell other people. That's why we're here. We are to be light in the darkness. Folks, this world is so dark. And we're called to shine and tell and invite. We are all missionaries. This is the Great Commission. This is the great sending out. And this is for all of us. Right? It's not just the pastor's job. You know, over the years, so many people will say, you know, Pastor, you go save so-and-so. I love that. No pressure. This is not just my job. You are told to go and share. Actually, Peter says this, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. Folks, we are a chosen generation. God put us in this time of life right now. In this crazy world, you are the chosen ones to go out, to be light. And as you have this hope of this risen Lord, we serve a living God, a God who is able to raise himself from the dead, just as he said. This same God, this same power now lives in us. Right? But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies and through his spirit who dwells in you. That God now dwells in you, the living God. And we're told to let your light shine, to share the hope that is in you. We should be so different from the world that the world looks at you and says, wait a minute, how come you're not crazy like the rest of us? How come you're not panicking? How now you're not filled with worry? How come you have certainty? You can look at him and say, I have Jesus. And he changes everything. And you can have him too. Jesus isn't a treasure to be hoarded and kept. You know, I think sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm a Christian, right? I got my eternal life. I know where I'm going when I die. And Jesus said, forgive me, and he's my friend, but he's mine, all mine. No. We're told to give it. Tell people, you know what, can I pray for you? Because God's real. Let me tell you, God can change you, restore you. The shame that you're feeling, God will forgive you and set you free. You don't have to be where you are. God has something better for you because he's a living God. They have a relationship. You do not have to go through it alone anymore. Folks, this world needs this message desperately. And needs to hear it from you. It's interesting because, you know, over the years, people are like, well, I don't know what to say. Just tell them what God has done in your life. Actually, years ago, I challenged a church I was pastoring to do this. I said, go out and you know, just pray the Lord will open the door up and say something. So one lady called me up. She goes, Pastor, I did it. I said, oh, what? And she goes, I was working with this lady, and she was talking about something, and I talked about Jesus. And she asked me questions. I said, yeah. She goes, I didn't know the answer to it. I said, so what'd you tell her? She goes, I told her I didn't know. I said, that's a good answer. If you don't know it, don't fake it. Don't, right? Just say, I don't know. And she goes, that's why I'm calling you, Pastor. Here's the question. And she gave me a question. And the next day, she went back and talked to her coworker after we had talked. About 2 days later, I got a phone call again. She goes, Pastor, she's asking more questions. I said, good. She goes, am I bothering you? I said, not at all. This is what I live for. And so back and forth, and the lady was growing, and in here she was witnessing, and we see this dynamic. That's what it's supposed to be like. I can't be everywhere, but you can be where you are. And you are Christ's representative. You are told to go into all the world in the authority of Jesus Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit in your life to make a difference for him. And he wraps this up at the end of Matthew, verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. A promise that death cannot hold him because he conquered it. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. So in light of that, I just want to encourage you to go. Go into this world. Do the will of your Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Challenge us with it, Lord, that we may go. Lord, people need to know about you. And how will they hear unless we tell them? Lord, I pray you give us boldness. Give us clarity, and we may speak boldly your truth. Whether it's sharing a verse, whether it's praying for someone, or whether it's inviting them to church. Lord, whatever venue you open, you press for us to go down, Lord, I pray we will just go. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.